Oh, what a hot mess. How do I turn this thing off?
Just fucking go. Just go. You're screwing up the world.
Pubcast. If you're not listening to Pubcast, the terrorists are winning. That's what Jay Moore says.
Welcome to the Pubcast with Rendan O'Neill. Sit down and enjoy a pint.
There's a county map to go with the wall of hurl, a stick in the shinty bowl, the brick, the brack, the crack, and all. Let's call it an Irish pub.
All right, so. I'm not going to do the usual start, but. So, Michelle, I have a good Riley's Rules for you.
We haven't done this in a while. I'm ready to declare.
Yeah, I need you. I've got a lot of. I got 12 things here. I need you to weigh in on them.
And I'm happy to do that.
Me and Ruff will give our two cents, but I think you should be the final authority on this. So, this was spawned by a word I heard earlier this week, or a phrase I heard earlier this week, and it was called a Poseidon kiss. You ever hear that?
No.
Me either.
Yeah.
Until while we were waiting for you to get on.
Right. So it's when you take a shit and the water splashes up and hits you in the asshole.
Oh my God.
So I was thinking, that is hilarious. I've never heard it before. And I'm like, there's got to be some other awesome, weird words out there these days. And Ruff has one that he uses that I think is fantastic. And this, the epitome of what this type of new word is. Ruff, what's your word?
Thanks for the lead in there. The word is glam strings, where the glutes meet the hamstrings. It's the perfect pairing of the two.
Glam strings.
Glam strings.
So,
very nice.
So I found a bunch of words. We're going to go through. I got 12 of them if we want to do all 12. New words and their definitions. And I want Michelle to rule on if they are good or if they're shit.
Okay, got it.
Michelle's right. You're wrong. It's Riley's Rules.
Ready? Here we go.
Ready? Lay them on me.
Master dating. This is going out alone to a movie or a restaurant. Master dating.
Well, it's clever.
I kind of like this one. It's so stupid, but I kind of like it.
I'm a big fan of doing those things. I always, I remember stunning some girls in my high school because I went to a movie by myself once.
Oh, yeah. Girls have an issue with that.
And I said, well, I wanted to go to the movie, and no one else did, so I went to the movie.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Sure.
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
All right.
Master dating. I like it.
I agree. I think it barely gets in there, but it's good enough.
I feel like, though, the fact that it lacks a sexual nature, like it's sort of misleading. Yes.
I know.
Well, that could be the end of the night.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, like to me that, but you just said it there, Michelle. Like it would be that you go out by yourself and come home and do that. And that's a master date.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the definition, an adjustment to the definition.
Yeah.
That works. I love it. Ruff, this one is just for you. This is a non-versation.
It.
A completely worthless conversation, aka small talk.
Love it.
I think that's great.
That's
I agree.
Fantastic. Non-versation. Yep. I love it. An errorist, as opposed to a terrorist. Errorist. Someone who repeatedly makes mistakes or is always wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can think of some people I might call that.
Right. So, Michelle.
I'm going to allow it.
Allow it. Wow. All right. An asshole. Someone who asks many stupid, pointless, or obnoxious questions. Asshole.
How do you spell that?
A-S-K-H-O-L-E. Ask hole.
Ask hole. I see.
I'm not liking that one.
Oh, I like that. I think that's great.
Ask hole. All right.
I don't like the way it sounds, though. It doesn't roll.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Ask hole. Not really. All right. Here's another one.
How about an asturbator? That's someone who just asks like rhetorical questions to themselves.
Asturbate. To themselves?
Asturbate.
Okay, I don't like this one. Let's go with bedgasm. The feeling of euphoria experienced when climbing into bed at the end of a long day.
Yeah, no.
Right.
That sounds like something that would be in a Kathy cartoon.
Yeah. So that's
perfect. Ooh, good call. I think it's forced. It doesn't flow at all. Bedgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Unlightening. Learning something that makes you dumb.
No. Asshole.
Damn it. I kind of like that one. It is stupid, though. Textpectation. The anticipation felt when waiting for a response to a text.
I like that.
I like that one.
Textpectation, yeah.
That's a real issue. That's a real issue these days. There's unwritten rules to the amount of time it should take to reply to a text.
Yeah.
Only if you're single and dating, Ralph. To the rest of the world, no one cares.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Carcolepsy. A condition where a passenger falls asleep as soon as the car starts moving.
I
like that one.
I like it. I do not have that condition, but I like it.
I have the condition when I'm driving in the middle of the afternoon, like on a Saturday where I've been drinking the night before. Like I'll have that usually while I'm driving, though. I'm the driver, which is a problem. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. That's a little dangerous, but yeah, I'm carcoleptic for sure. Ambitious. Striving to be more of a bitch than the average bitch.
No, it's asshole.
That shouldn't even made this discussion. That was terrible. Oh, Michelle, this one's for you. Unkeyboardinated. When you're unable to type without repeatedly making mistakes.
Yeah, that's me.
Unkeyboardinated.
I mean, I don't like it, of course, but it is me. I'll admit it.
It's me too, actually.
It's cumbersome, but I'll
yeah, no, it doesn't work as a word, but I like the concept. Jugger snot.
I like it already.
No, I say no more. I don't want to hear one more word about this.
A huge impending sneeze you can't prevent.
No.
It's just a sneeze. Yeah. Damn it. I thought that would get through.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, over.
Jugger snot. And finally, doppelbanger. Person who has sex with someone who looks identical to them but is not related.
That's awesome.
Doppelbanger.
I thought the definition would be like a person who has sex with someone who looks exactly like the person they really want to have sex with.
That's not bad either.
Like a second choice, you know, like a...
Well, yeah.
Could it also be like the husband and wife that start buying the same glasses and wearing the same clothes?
I think that works. Sure. Yeah.
That's a very disturbing thing to me. Like, I have an issue with that. Being an airport dweller that I am,
yeah,
I witness a lot of doppelbanging according to that definition. It pisses me off.
Good God. What's the world coming to?
Oh, it's a tough place, man. Stay in your house.
Oh, I try and stay in my house as much as possible. That's
a smart thing.
It's really better for everyone.
Whoever knew Prospect Heights was such a budding suburban wonderland. I really enjoyed it. I couldn't believe the amount of space between the houses.
Well, but that's actually sort of specific to my little subdivision or whatever. I mean, there are some other areas, but our little spot is kind of unique.
I'll say.
Don't get your hopes up.
Got it.
Although there are some houses for sale. Come on over.
No, I'm fine.
Well, so Michelle, how's the new house?
You know, it's great. It's been super chaotic. I mean, my life is so chaotic anyway, and then moving here was very chaotic. So we moved in a week ago Saturday, so coming up on our second week.
Wow.
And Joel, of course, has been gone for almost, I think this is his third night that he's spending in the house. So
he couldn't put together some PTO time for the moving.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, the reality is that this whole thing happened so fast that all of these plans were made well before we decided to buy a house. he has not scheduled anything new since he knew that we were going to be moving in here, but that's still taking him to like the 15th of December. So anyway, Joel hasn't been home, so it has been a little crazy. But actually, it was just yesterday that I started to say, you know, I think it's pretty nice here. I guess I do like it.
Nice.
Ruffy can appreciate this. Like, I didn't really think through the fact that I would probably be running into people that I grew up with.
Oh, yeah. That's something. Yes.
I didn't think through that. I mean, I knew I was coming by my dad and that I grew up in the area and all that, but I guess I just didn't really consider that. Like, last weekend we were at Home Depot, and I saw someone I recognized.
Nice little Saturday.
I don't think he recognized me, and it doesn't matter, but it was just like, oh, gosh. And then we went to get some eggs afterwards, and I'm sitting in the diner thinking, oh, my God, do I have to look around here all the time now? So it was just very strange.
Oh, yeah.
My very, 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 very first trip to the grocery store. I'm in the grocery store. I'm hopping around. Who do I run into? My stepsister. Like, literally, first time I'm at the grocery store. So it was just so funny that it's just like, okay, this is what it is now. And so, I mean, I enjoyed running into my stepsister. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy it. It was just ironic that that's the person I happen to see right when I walk in the grocery store. So,
stepsister aside, is running into these people or the possibility of running into these people a positive or a negative?
Well, it's just kind of something I hadn't considered.
Yeah, so it's neither. It's really neither.
I don't really know that it's a positive or a negative. Exactly. I just was like, oh, wow, I guess that might be happening. Like, I didn't really think about it, you know.
You know, I've been a bit of a nomad.
Yeah.
You know, I've been moved around. I've moved around a lot, and I've literally been like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense now for like 8 years. And when I bought this house, there was a certain like, it was like a cold breeze that came in and just sort of hit me like, oh, people will know me.
Oh, yeah.
It could be anybody. It could be just someone down the street commenting on something that's friendly. And I'm like, why the fuck are you saying that?
Yeah.
You know, like, I saw you the other day. I'm like, why did you see me? Where did you see me?
Yeah.
I'm not used to anyone knowing
me.
So I'm adjusting back to life and society. I understand.
You saw me? What the hell do you care?
Who, me?
No, I'm saying when someone says they saw you.
Right.
Like,
right. Why do you notice to begin with? Right.
Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get it.
Plus, you know, you're so used to having certain shorthands. I remember the last time I went to a high school reunion, which was, I don't know, whenever my 20th, it would be 08. Thinking like, oh, of course I know everyone in my school. Of course I knew all the people in my class. Of course I did. Like feeling no trepidation, like, oh, it'll be fun, you know, getting there. And then the second I got there going, holy shit, I don't remember any of these people. I don't remember their names. I don't remember anything. And then it was just like total panic because I would look at someone and I'd be like, oh, my God, what is your name?
I do that with my neighbors.
I know that feeling too.
And I'm feeling like, oh, of course I know these people, but no, I really don't. And, you know, the I mean, I don't need to point this out to anybody, but I have now lived in Chicago much longer than I ever lived in Wheaton. you know, I grew up in Wheaton. I lived in Wheaton from 79 to 88, and then I went to college, you know.
Yeah.
And I lived in Chicago from the mid-90s to now, you know, so it's been a lot. I don't know. It's just a weird adjustment. But Francis, my son, the three-year-old, has said some funny things. Like Friday night, Joel had just gotten home last Friday night, and there's no groceries in the house. I'm like, come on, we're going. Because we live in, Ralph, we live in Glen Ellen, where you can still walk to
Denver. That's nice. Yeah, that's kind of like where I live. I heard you moved there. That's cool.
Yeah. So I said, come on, Fran, let's go. And he goes, are we going to O'Shaughnessy's? Which is our pub in Chicago, that, you know, in our neighborhood. And we're like, no, we're not going to O'Shaughnessy's. We don't live there anymore. And he's like, oh, I want to see my, you know, he's got like his bartender at the. I want to see Maya. I'm like, no, we're not seeing Maya anymore. And every time we leave the house, he says, are we walking or driving? And I'm always like, we're driving, babe. We drive to school every day now. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't we walk? I'm like, it's too far to go anywhere. And then, you know, he just says funny things. Every time we're out somewhere, he goes, are we going back to the big house?
That's awesome.
Yes, we're going back to the big house. So, yeah, he's cracking me up with some of this stuff. Yeah.
Where do you live in Glen Ellen?
I live on Park Boulevard, just right by the high school.
Okay, by West. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Glen Ellen is an idyllic community.
Yeah, it seems really, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. We haven't really met too many people. But, of course, I know, you know, Tara, my pseudo-cousin, lives here.
And
Jennifer LaCar lives here. And some people I grew up with live here. So, yeah, we've made connections with other people, too. It's fun. Is
idyllic a code word for white?
It's pretty.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, come on.
I'm joking. I have no idea.
But let me tell you, it's already 1,000% more diverse than Wheaton, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, so. Wow, that's awesome.
Hey, my cousin Jill lives there, Michelle. She grew up there. It's Biederman. Biederman knows her, actually.
Oh, perfect.
Mm. Yeah, and she went to California. She was out there when I lived there, and then moved back to Glen Ellen. She's closer to the closer to like Illinois.
Yeah.
Like by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Element. She's like right over there. And her husband, Jeff, tells me that there's a lot of swingers in Glen Ellen. So there's that.
Is that right?
Yeah. He said he was at a party and in their neighborhood. And this one, the guy's wife was really hot. And he said she walked by and like had on this short little skirt, and like lifted up the back of her skirt right in front of her husband. And he was like really cool with it. And Jeff was like, whoa, I think I'm at a swingers party. That was the end of the story, but I'm sure there's more to the story.
You'll find out, Michelle.
Well, I don't think so.
You and Joel, get ready.
So. Swingers are everywhere. Trust me on that.
Well, I don't think they're in the Riley area.
You'd be surprised. Keep your blinds closed.
Yeah, dog.
Anywho.
All right, Michelle. Ruff and I... We were going to bring something up, or we had a topic I wanted to bring up, and we're very passionate about it. I don't know if you'll be so passionate. So you're welcome to rip us at any turn.
Okay.
It was a discussion I had over the weekend with my kids, and I think Allison was involved too, but we're out to brunch, and we were comparing pancakes versus waffles versus French toast. Which is better and why?
Oh.
And my answer is French toast, and it's not even close. The others are not even in the discussion.
Oh, my God. I was going to say French toast.
Yeah. And my boys were on the side of pancakes, although Liam goes, but a Belgian waffle is really good. I'm like, yes, it is. But you got to pick one. I think you went for pancakes or whatever. But
I think the Belgian waffle is a distant third to either of the other two.
I think so, too.
And if done correctly, it's tough to beat French toast.
That's what I'm saying. it's the best of all worlds. It is the got the pancakes.
I love pancakes, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But when you have really good French toast, you forget about the fucking pancakes. You don't even talk about it.
Are you saying all three of us agree?
I think so.
Son of a bitch. I thought we
But here's the thing. I have not eaten pancakes, waffles, or what, French toast in probably nearly 40 years.
Oh my God.
And but now I have a 3-year-old son, so they have suddenly become part of our world now. So now, you know, they're at least a weekly, if not, you know, several times a weekly, you know, activity here at our house. So
oh yeah. I mean, I don't
kids
order any of them.
Your life.
Yeah. They're I can't believe we all agree on this. This is mind blowing.
Anybody that says waffle, like if you come up with waffle as number one, we should have a separate segment on you.
Yeah. Oh, it's you have some sort of a mental problem. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan has a thing about when you go, if you go and you get pancakes for breakfast, like on a Saturday, he's like, they should just call that don't make any plans. Just go back to bed.
Carb load for your nap. All right. Well, I don't have much else. I did have a little note that I saw today, just as a side note. A 19-year-old kid in Oklahoma was caught speeding. Going 208 miles an hour.
What?
They clocked him. Something like they clocked him doing 84, and then they chased him, and he got it up to like 170 something, and then he really like was trying to evade him and got his souped up Mustang or something up to 208.
Jeez.
Ruff, what's the fastest you've gone?
You know, believe it or not,
as a driver or passenger,
as wacky as I may be, I'm actually pretty responsible behind the wheel. And I don't think I've ever cleared 90, frankly.
Get the fuck out of here, really?
I swear to God. Yeah, in fact, I don't think I have. I think I got my Oldsmobile 88. I think I got that thing up to like 90, 95. That's it.
Wow. I go 90 to and from my in-laws.
Oh, yeah, me too. But I mean, like, that's it. I go 90 normally, and I go 90 as the high. That's it.
I think I broke, I don't know, like 105 once maybe, but that's about it. I'm generally, or in the past, I've been in cars that really should not go that fast. It really gets unsafe when everything starts shimmying back and forth.
But by the way, I have a topic. If and when you exhaust your topics, I have a good topic.
Bring it on.
It's one that's near and dear to my heart, and it just entered my mind when you mentioned the guy going 208 miles an hour. The topic is, what things, or is there anything that is really mundane in nature? In other words, it happens all the time, but that makes you so angry that when... would force you to like control yourself to not beat somebody.
This is one of my favorite topics ever.
Yeah.
I have brought this up to a number of people. the exact same concept. And I have a definitive one. And yeah, the way I would couch it is the smallest thing that elicits the most rage.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's got to be the smaller the better, and it's got to, you have to overreact so much that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no reason for you to act this way.
Right.
But that's what it is.
And I have an answer off the top of my head, and it's the one, and it makes me mad just thinking about it.
Please proceed.
And it's so irrational and stupid, I should be put in a mental institution for this. Ready?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Dropping anything. Ever. If I drop my car keys in the parking lot.
If you do it?
Oh, if I drop anything I get so, I can't control my rage. I lose years on my life because my heart like stops for about 10 seconds.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's ridiculous, but it's absolutely true. I can't handle it. I get so angry. Internally, I don't, you know, react.
I'm so glad I asked this question.
Oh my God, that's a great one. What's yours?
Well,
I assume you have one loaded and
ready. Oh, I've got a few, but like, it's not involving anything that I do because I never find fault in anything I do. But
of course,
it has to do with I'm very sensitive to sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in other words, chewing.
Oh, like, that's my husband.
Oh, and it's got to be bad. It can't just be like it happens usually when it's very quiet and I hear it. Just like that sound. I want to take something and I want to beat the person with it. Like I want to take a piece of wood or something and just beat someone, just bludgeon them when they're doing that. And I picture myself doing that while I'm staring at them. It could be in public. It could be in my house. It could be one of my daughters eating, you know, Special K.
But it's not necessarily like especially obnoxious chewing or loud or open mouth. It's just really sort of mundane chewing.
It's just that I can hear it.
Yeah?
Yes, exactly. God. That's how Joel is.
Really?
Yeah.
He's dreamed of killing me with the, like a letter opener or something. Just
Joel.
For chewing anywhere near it.
Joel is demented.
It's also, there's another one too. It's the unnecessary and loud tapping. Like... Like, let's say you're at a dentist's office or whatever, and you're sitting waiting to go in, and the person, like, six seats down from you is just tapping their foot. I want to take their foot. I want to break their tibia in half. I just want to snap it right then.
Well,
all bubbling beneath the surface.
What gets me, like, that irrational is any computer delay. I mean, I want to have an absolute breakdown.
That's timely.
It is timely, and I was having a meltdown.
God.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. Or you know what else? This is okay. This is probably even more inconsequential.
Yeah, I don't think a computer delay is small.
This is embarrassing. Okay, you know when you get? I actually thought about this today. You know when you get someone's voicemail? Or even an automated phone voicemail, any of this, right? And you're waiting for the beep to come, and then it just keeps delaying, like
gives you directions.
Going,
yes.
Okay, yeah. I can hear. So literally, here's what I was doing. I was listening to a WebEx today, so there's audio. I'm calling someone. I'm trying to leave a voicemail. I'm muting the audio, but I still. Because it was the end of the call and her message was over and it was still 10 more seconds of please leave a message after the beep. And I'm like in my mind immediately jumping to a conspiracy theory around this is how they get you more minutes on your phone. They take 10 extra seconds until you can leave your message when I could have just walked into the bathroom and come back in the time that it took them to do this stupid fucking automated message.
So you hate inefficient,
yes,
outgoing messages. Holy shit.
Well, how about just adding one thing to that? Why do they have to give you any directions as to what to do?
Right.
On the voicemail. Oh, hey, it's Brendan. Not here. Yeah, you know what the fuck to do. When it beeps, you're going to leave your message. You don't need directions on that.
Because we and people older than us are old enough to have used those old answering machines that were brand new and no one knew how to use them. And
right, so you had to instruct people.
We had to instruct them then, and we just have never grown out of that shit. That's
amazing. Hey, it's rough. I'm not home right now. Leave a message at the beep.
I love the putting production value into your message.
I have another.
Oh, this topic. This is fantastic.
This one is as irrational and odd as any.
Oh.
It has to do with airports, so that's a whole other category.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's one. Well, there's two parts to it. One of them has to do with TSA. Let's set that aside for a second, because I'll get angry even talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But the other involves just the boarding process and any small talk, travel-related conversation during said process.
I believe, like, we define that as nonversation.
Nonversation, right. So here's an example of that. You're in line. You have your headphones in because you hate everyone.
Yes.
And you're just staring straight ahead. And the person next to you says something like, "This is really crazy. You know, this cattle call. There's something about that conversation and that type of engagement that makes me want
to
die.
I have to restrain myself from, like, disemboweling the guy with a spoon because it's unbelievable. That... Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to?
Do you want a fucking answer to that? Like, why are you speaking? What is this? Oh, rough. That's a good one.
It's exactly. I give that look that Javier Bardem gave in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
I look at him like that.
Call it.
Call it, friendo.
Oh, my God. That's a wonderful one.
Yeah. The other is just any conversation with TSA at all.
Yeah, well, I mean,
anything like
they're incentivized to be morons.
Well, excuse me, sir, is this your bag? No, I'm fucking hanging around here.
Right.
Like, I've got my bag. I already have it. I'm just standing here because I want to spend time with you. Fuckers.
Take your shoes off and your laptops out. Yeah, I got it. I've been flying for the last 10 years. We got
but
it.
But that's the thing, dude. The rules change by the day.
I know.
And by the airport. It's ridiculous. They make up their own rules.
I'm taking all my shit off anyway, so regardless of what the rules are. Fuckers.
Fuckers. All of them. Oh, here's another one. I got another one.
Yes.
This is even more absurd. Getting a receipt for something you pay in cash with.
Oh.
I have a rational hatred for just getting receipts in general.
Yeah.
But there's more, Michelle. The manner in which you get the receipt. Like, you know, sometimes people stack the receipt and the change and the dollars.
I don't want that garbage. Throw it away. That's what I say.
In cash.
No, thank you on that receipt. Would you throw that away for me, please?
I bought M&Ms. What the fuck do I need a receipt for if I paid in cash?
All right. And you know what else I hate is the restaurant receipt, because that's something I'm definitely not going to return at any point in my life. So why am I getting a receipt? And then to take that up one more notch, I get even more irrationally angry at my husband when he does take the receipt.
Oh,
the itemized receipt?
And why are you bringing it into my house so we can just throw it away?
That's fantastic.
Oh, shit.
Because that's a nothing. That's a zero.
You don't need it.
I know, but it... I think you just pointed out the smallest possible thing. It doesn't affect you. You don't even see it. It's not in your pocket. It doesn't matter.
It enrages me.
I love that.
Are you talking about the detail, like the itemized?
Any receipt from a meal.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Oh, God, that's great.
That's amazing. Yeah, I like it.
I think that wins for smallest nothing. I thought mine was good, but holy shit.
I've got another one.
Oh, this keeps on getting better.
How about when someone comes up to you, stares at your watch and asks you if you have the time?
Oh, fuck.
I can't say that that's ever happened to me.
But wait, they're also holding a phone.
Oh.
Maybe they just want to talk to you, sweetheart.
then just say that. I mean, just do something else. Excuse me, do you have the time? Yeah, so do you. It's on your fucking phone.
Oh, no. Oh, I hate that question. Do you have the time?
Yeah.
My answer will be yes, and I won't go beyond that. If your question is, what time is it, then I'll give you the time. But do you have the time? Yes. Walk away. That's amazing.
I like it.
I like this whole scenario we've got going on here. This is going to come back again.
It has to.
I've got things to add, but I don't think they're small enough. I want to recalibrate.
Yeah, you got to give this some thought. Like, we've come up with quite a few on the fly here, but it's, if you sit and think about it, there's so many mundane things that anger you that all worth discussion.
I'll give my usual one, but it doesn't qualify because it's not small enough, because it's a real thing, I think. And that's particularly at work, or I don't know, it could be at like a grocery store or whatever, but it happens at work a lot. People standing and talking, or just standing still on their phone or whatever, in a doorway or walkway.
Oh, nothing enrages me more than rude people who don't think that there are other people in the world.
Oblivious,
and then
yeah.
just stand there.
But I also in a doorway. It's a bottleneck. It's a funnel. Why are you there?
Don't walk on the left side. You walk on the right.
Yeah. See, this whole topic makes me nuts, because this is, again, we're getting into airport type stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
Standing and riding the moving walkway.
And stopping at the end.
It's not a fucking carnival ride. Walk.
Just the whole thought of it, this whole thing makes me want to die. The talking on the rental car bus on the phone. The talking on the plane on the phone. Hang up the fucking phone when you get on the plane.
Do you know that I still am, I'm the last person in America, I am still self-conscious about the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So am I. You should
like
be.
If I get in a taxi, I'm always like, oh, excuse me, I just need to take this. And they're always like, I don't care. Do whatever you want. I'm going to talk on the phone this whole ride anyway. What do I care? But I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just need to take this for 1 second.
I love it. Yeah, you're the carnival freak.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
For taking the call. Or
oh, I just thought of another thing that annoys me, and I know that I'm the only person that feels this
Ooh,
way.
Ooh, bring it.
When people charge Starbucks.
What?
I'm like, you don't have $3 in your wallet.
That's
you
funny.
Have to charge.
Oh, that is funny.
Michelle.
The idea that you just charge everything now.
Yeah.
It's going to cost them more in fees to run that charge card than to pay the $1.10 for whatever it is you're buying.
That's their problem.
It's a cashless society, Michelle.
I know, I'm getting over it, but I do. I'll even apologize sometimes. Like, I'm so sorry, I don't have $7. I only have $5 in my wallet.
They prefer it. They don't even know what to do with cash.
I don't care. Go for it.
They have no idea what to do with cash if you hand it to them.
What's the smallest amount you have used a card for?
Oh, shit, a cup of coffee.
Handing it to a person, yeah. Yeah, I've done like
probably
$1.50, $1.25 or something.
And I have done it sort of reluctantly when I'm traveling, because I'll put it on my corporate card or whatever. But I always feel bad about it.
I have no guilt over that.
No, I have no guilt. It takes more time.
It just
seems
so unnecessary.
To get the cash.
My brother hasn't had cash on him in the last, I don't know, 10 years.
10?
Well, Brendan remembers my story about going blueberry picking this summer, and I think that pretty much sums up his relationship to cash.
That's the greatest. Fucking. You could have charged us whatever you wanted.
Yeah, long story short, we took the whole family to the blueberry farm. We went to, put our blueberries in. They got weighed, and then they charged us. And Robbie's like, oh, Joel, I don't have any money on me. Joel's like old school. He's always got like $300 on him, at least, you know. And Joel's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I got it. And so both Joel and Rob are staring intently at this woman at the blueberry farm. And she's like, $7.35. And there was like a little bit of a pause, and Rob started laughing, and he's like, "You could have told us that it was $84, and we would have paid you. We have no idea what blueberries."
You know, it was a day out with like two families picking blueberries for an hour or whatever. I mean, it could have been, and they have no idea what it costs. $7. You could have said $700. We'd have paid.
Right. We looked at it as like an outing to get these kids out of our hair for a few minutes. And then we realized we were just buying like 3 pints of blueberries and it was just $7.
There's no number that would have been too high.
Yeah. So, we're like, okay, we got that.
Oh my God.
Okay. I've got one more topic.
Oh Jesus.
This one we started talking about, Brendan, and that is the maddening, impractical politeness in certain situations that fuck up something. For instance, a great example would be your, I don't know, 20, 30 yards away and someone holds a door and insists on like waiting there for you. Just like holds it.
Yeah, like when you're not there.
You're nowhere near. You're down the street and someone like, they want you to acknowledge that they've held a door. It's so out of their way to do so. You don't need the door held.
And it fucks up people in front of them trying to get out or in.
Right. Yeah. They're blocking. That's one. The other one is the waving, like the fucking up the flow of traffic to be a good Samaritan unnecessarily.
I see that one a lot. I've experienced that one a lot.
I don't know, you guys. I don't know if I can get on board for this.
Oh, no. So, let me give you an example, Michelle.
Yeah.
There's so little politeness left in the world. I'm gonna embrace anyone that has any manners.
It's, but no. This is
fake politeness. It's not actual politeness. It's them stopping and trying to make a show that they're being polite, but they're actually disobeying the rules and fucking up everybody around them.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking about. The example is waving someone across when there's traffic going in both directions, and by waving them, you might cause the person to get T-boned.
Yeah. Where there's not a stop sign or there's not a crosswalk, you're allowing someone to go ahead, and there are rules in place. There are traffic flow. I mean, we know how this works, and you're messing it up with your arbitrary stopping to let some idiot across.
Right.
I've experienced this a lot, like in the summer, on my bike and going down paths or whatever. Yeah. So there are stop signs and there's all kinds of lights that you come across on these stupid trails. And the bike always stops. That's the rule. You stop and the cars go. When there's a break in the action, you go through. As everyone knows who's ever ridden a bike since they were 4 years old, we got it. And cars will stop in the middle of the road, causing a backup to wave me through when it is not my turn to go. And it drives me fucking insane.
It's a good example.
Because it's unnecessary. It's causing a problem where one doesn't exist.
Pulling up to a stop sign after someone is there, like, you know, there's a flow to it.
Yeah.
And you they've got the right of way. You're there, and then they wave you. Just fucking go. Just go. You're screwing up the world.
You're screwing up the world. Damn it, Michelle. Get on board with this.
I agree.
All right. Let's do a quick game and let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do that.
This is the How Much Are They Worth game, Michelle. Do you remember this?
Of course I do.
All right. Based on the events of a week ago, the theme for this one is presidents.
And now, let's play the How Much Are They Worth game.
We are doing the most recent 5 presidents, starting with George Herbert Walker Bush. What's his net worth?
What's the cutoff for initials, by the way?
He's pushing it. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah.
You get I say you get one middle initial. That's it.
That's it. He's GHB.
All right.
I think that the precedent for what George Herbert Walker Bush has been called over the years has been established, Christopher.
True.
It's been called Daddy, Papa.
Papa, can you hear me?
I don't know where to even start with this guy. Fuck, man. I'm going to go 70?
Where did he make his coin, though?
I don't know.
He was born.
Was he an oil man?
Dude.
No, they were always there. They were pre-oil, I think.
Yeah. Pre-oil.
They were oil when they called it Earl.
Oil.
Earl.
And I believe that Herbert Walker was East Coast. I don't think he's the one that took him to Texas. I think.
You're right. He was up in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Kennebunkport.
He's been in government for so long. I have no clue on this. I'm saying 70.
I'm going to say 150.
God damn. If he's worth that much, fuck. God. I'm just going to go 100 because I have no clue.
100 million even. George H.W. Bush has a net worth of... Holy shit.
Jeez.
Now, let's remember that this site may not be super accurate. So we're going by what this site says. 25 million.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me, though, because... I didn't know what he was worth, but he hasn't also hit the book circuit and all the other stuff. Like, it's kind of like being an NFL player 30 years ago.
He, I don't know.
That's plenty of dough. Jeez. I'm glad that's the number, because 100 would have pissed me off if I was right.
My computer is. All right. Next guy, William Jefferson Clinton. Clinton. What do you think, Michelle?
I'll feel bad if I get this wrong because I think it's been pretty well documented recently, hasn't it? what with his wife running for president and all.
Yeah,
but,
I haven't been paying attention, though, to the numbers. What do you got?
$50 million.
Is it just him, or is it the family?
Well, I think they're a marital
They got to be somewhat combined in this number. I'm going to go 75. I don't know.
I was going to say 80, actually.
Okay, 50, 75, 80. Bill Clinton... 42nd president. Ooh, one of us gets the daily double bonus. Net worth of 80 million.
All right. Wow. That's me.
You son of a bitch. That is some shit. 80 million. 50. All right. George W. Bush.
If his dad's 25, it's going to be egregious what he's got in his pocket. I'm on 100.
I'm going to go 120. Michelle Riley.
Ninety.
Oh, she's trying to Price is Right our ass on this.
I know. Exactly.
We got to come up with these numbers at the same time. Damn it. George W. Bush has a net worth of $40 million.
Well, okay. I feel better. Again.
Yeah.
But he's got what, 40% more than his dad? That's ridiculous too,
by the way. Fuckers. All right. Barack Hussein Obama. Shit.
I'm going to say 25 million.
I'm going to say 15.
No, I'm going higher than that. Fuck it. 35. Barack Obama. Ooh. Fucking hell. Barack has a net worth of 12.2.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because he would have made all of his money in the last 8 years, really, and you can't when you're president.
He made all his money from his books.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Yeah, so he hasn't had the speaking engagements yet. Yeah, fuck. I should have known that.
He's going to make a shitload the next 8.
Yeah. And President-elect Donald J. Trump.
I don't even know if you can bank on whatever his worth is.
No one knows.
I know.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. We're just going by this website, so we got to sort of...
I say $900 billion.
$900 billion?
Yep. That's what he said. I'm going with him. Why would he lie about that? I trust him. He's the president.
Trust me. He says that all the time. Trust me.
Believe me.
Believe me. I will do a fantastic job with the cyber. Believe me.
The cyber.
I can't even believe this has happened. It's so great.
Don't bring it up. We can't go into it.
No, okay. I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go, well, I have a number, but Ruff, you go first.
My son, he's got computers. He's great with the cyber. You got to see the thing this kid can do with computers. I want to go with... I'm going to go with 1.8 billion.
Wow. I've got 990 million.
He's got to be a billionaire. But
there's no way. I don't even know why we're answering this question, because there's no way to say. And he doesn't have to be a billionaire.
Well, it's estimated, I'm sure, on this site. That's all it is. Donald Trump. Come on, computer. Okay, according to this website, has a net worth of $4.5 billion.
Huh?
And I don't believe that for 10 seconds. So I had 990, Ruff had 1 billion, Michelle had 900 billion.
I had 1.8 billion.
I know, but you win anyway. You smoked us. That's... You got double whammy. You were four to one to one. Damn, dude. I thought you sucked at this game.
I normally do.
I blame Mike Cross.
We might as well. Speaking of that, he's and I hope he's listening to this tomorrow when he plays this on his freaking Facebook page. he has fudged his bet with me now 2 years in a row. You know he still not paid me for bourbon last year.
Really?
Yes. Not only that, I called the World Series in spring training, as you know.
Yeah. You nailed it. I think you need to make the bet more punitive.
Well, we have the new punitive version is, whatever we bet, the loser has to buy the jersey of the person that the winner says.
Oh, right.
And put your own name on the back of it. It's horrible.
Right.
So in other words, he would have to buy like Anthony Rizzo's jersey and put Crossy on the back.
Oh,
Cubs jersey.
Good God.
Yeah. That's a great loss right there. That's better than a bottle of bourbon, that's for sure.
That's a topic I want to explore sometime, is the grown men in jerseys. What's acceptable or not, or is it all?
That's a great topic.
Out? Yeah,
totally subjective. Which are the best topics?
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, this is good. So, Michelle, I have some other stuff for future podcasts. I won't go through it, but I do want to get one out there so you can weigh in on it, and then maybe our dozen listeners can think about it and tell me if they like it or not. It's something I'm going to call, I think, the shot of the week. It's where I do a shot, and then I make a like a bold statement that goes against conventional wisdom. A prediction, quick observation, a bet, whatever it is. And so I say something, quote unquote, controversial, and then basically you guys kill me for it. So what do you think?
I think you just want to do a shot.
Well, I would do that anyway. I mean, I don't need the shot glass. Just take a hit off the old rocks glass. But, yeah, it's basically just throwing something out there and then allowing people to rip it to shreds. So that's something Ruff and I do often on here or Facebook or wherever.
Yes.
Like, for example, I would say something like PEDs should be legal in all sports.
Yeah, you're famous for doing it. Yeah. In the midst of a heated argument, you drop in your A-Rod bullshit. And at this point, it makes me laugh. But for a while, I got to say, I'm like, what the fuck does he keep saying that? Which is your goal.
It's half provoking, but there's half of it is me saying it for real. So it's good fodder for all your like arguments and stuff, as opposed to us all agreeing on fucking French toast. It's a non-versation.
I do love when I get people lathered up on my post and I let other people do the beatings. Like you were commenting on it when we were in your basement, the amount of restraint I show sometimes.
Oh, it's amazing.
But it's all because I know someone else is going to beat the crap out of the person. I just have to sit back and watch.
I think I have been for a while, but I'm done mostly commenting on Peach's comments. So I like to sit back and see who's going to jump in and, you know, take the lead on that one. It's often Mike Cross, but
the more absurd, the better, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's what I love. We won't talk about the election because we'll all go nuts and we'll talk about it forever. But what this last 2 weeks has revealed to me, like, a great game would be if you had to line people up that we all know mutually and guess who they voted for. There will be some people in there that we get wrong and we won't be able to reconcile it. It'll blow our minds.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
No, we won't. But you know what I'm saying? Like it happened at work with me. I'm like, there's a few people where I'm like, I can't believe that you did that. And then you hear the reason and then you're even more scared and you wish you never even asked the question.
What really gets me is the conscientious non-voter. Like, oh yeah, I just don't vote. Like, what? How can you? No, I just don't want to participate in that. What the fuck are you talking about? How can you not vote?
I have to say, I've been guilty of it once, but for different reasons. It wasn't because I was appalled by both candidates.
Because you're a felon.
Because I was a felon, but then also because I literally did not care which of them got elected, and that was the John Kerry, George Bush.
Yeah.
It was different. I was like, I don't know.
I can have a little, like some respect if you are just truly uninformed. I'm like, I don't even know enough to fucking pick one. But even, I mean, I don't know. Come on, man. Get in there and do it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So. All right.
All right, buddy. It's a wrap. It's 11:12 here on the East Coast.
Yeah. And we'll regroup next week. Hopefully we can get Cross on board or somebody that we can argue with.
Yes. Ideally Cross. Maybe Drunk Rob.
I don't want to argue with Drunk Rob because that becomes Mean Rob.
I want to. Well, you notice when he's being mean, though? He always smiles. If you see him on camera doing it... He's always got that smirk on his face when he's saying the meanest thing to you. He said some terribly mean things to me sometimes, but it's so amusing at the same time because he's smiling.
Smiling and slurring. It's wonderful. Just all right, kids. Last
Michelle,
time.
It was a pleasure. B, I'll talk to you.
All right, people.
Good night, Buzz. Have a great night. Good talking to you.
Bye.
Please follow us on Twitter at Irish Pubcast.
There's a county map to go with the wall of hurl, a stick in the shinty bowl, the brick, the brack, the crack, and all. Let's call it an Irish pub. Caffrey's hard, cocaine, a top, the Guinness, pint, the cabbage crap, the eye, don't want to be patty trap. We'll call it an Irish pub. While I'll be fucked to swear upon the holy book, the only crack you'll get is a slap in the ear. Well, I'll be fucked to laugh and burst your filthy mug if you draw one more shamrock in me beer. A beer, a dollar, we'll make them wear a shirt and colour with fire, body, tri-colour, a colour, an Irish pub. The Jager bombs and double shots, the underagers think it's toss. We'll spike the drinks and pay the cost, we got us an Irish pub. The quick run in the filthy dog, the patent grass across the lug of the lady, oh, the dirty dog, we got us an Irish pub. It's over to me,
and over to you,
we'll skip along the avenue.
But who the hell is running through?
We got us an Irish pub. To swear upon the holy book, the only crack you get is a slap in the ear. Well, I'll be fucked to laugh and burst your filthy mug if you drop one more shamrock in me beer. Plasma screens, neon lights, carry fog and alky knives. The bouncers, they can pick the fights. We'll call it an Irish pub. Plastic cups are polished for all. We'll hose the blood right out the door. I'll let the knuckles back for more. We've got us an Irish pub. While I'll be fucked, you swear upon the holy book, the only crack you'll get is a slap in the ear. While I'll be fucked, you'll often burst your filthy mug if you draw one more shot. I'll give me beer. On. Kiss me, I'm Irish, Molly Malone. A bunch of slant, you punk my home. We got us an Irish pub. Split the punches, trick the willows, strike me up the rakes. I'm Malone, a lift, he never runs so shallow. We got us an Irish pub. Well, I'll be fucked, you swear upon the holy book. The only crack you get is a slap in the ear. Well, I'll be fucked, you'll offer first your filthy mug. If you draw one more shamrock in.